All right, guys, episode 71. I think we got to get a break to Nuggets and Six on three.
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Quiet on the set. Make sure my mic is on. There is Dre and Juju Dog diving towards the pylon. Go for two, so damn rude. Recognize authority. Spitting tips for fantasy. No way you're outscoring me. Bold predictions with conviction every single day. Sports addiction, no restriction. Kicking game like Pele. He's the greatest. What's the basis? Pick an athlete. Let's debate this game. Outrageous trading places. Sudden death, take 10 paces. Turn and shoot. Boys, the truth. Mamba mentality. Future greats take their place. Dreams become reality. Going outside, knocked it out the park. Your boy discovered fire like a rock with a spark. Refs acting like Neanderthals. Phantom flags, nothing calls. Heartbreak losses, tragic falls. Every week discuss it all. Settle in, listen up. Free of time like Andrew Luck. Show's about to start. I suggest you buckle up.
Nuggets and Six. This is Juju Talk Sports. I am joined today by Art. From the Art of Jacob Do America podcast. We're missing Jacob because, you know, he has to go watch his Lakers. He said sweep, but doesn't look like they're going for the sweep tonight, huh, Art?
Doesn't seem like it. Not anymore. It's impossible for them to sweep now.
Yeah, and now they're in a position where if they win this game, they have that 3-1 lead. As we've seen with the Nuggets, that is not an ideal position to be in at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it seems weird that you would want to lose this one just to go get your home court back,
whatever
that means in the bubble. But they're in a strange place because I've always felt since the beginning that the Lakers are an older team and they're going to struggle against younger teams. And this is the first young, good team that they've faced and healthy team, in my opinion.
I mean, the Nuggets have just two stars. My thing on this series that I always saw – for the Nuggets, yes, they're young, but back-to-back seven-game series, back-to-back series in which they had to come back from that 3-1 deficit, it wears on you. That's a lot to do. I know that momentum is a big thing in the bubble because what I think why we're seeing the Nuggets and other teams be able to bounce back from these deficits so much easier is you don't have the little bit of travel in between. They don't have to jump between cities constantly. If a team gets hot, you know, they're playing in just a couple days, pretty much back to back to back to back to back. And I think that's why we've been able to see them go on these runs. But I think the Lakers just at the end of the day just have way more talent. Between LeBron and AD alone, that should be more than enough to carry them. Yes, Jokic has really put himself in that top tier. And yes, Jamal Murray has put himself in that consideration for a next up-and-coming superstar. But I still honestly see Lakers putting this away in five. We saw the other teams they faced, the Trailblazers and the Rockets, both still a game from them. I think it's just bound to happen. I don't see the Lakers as a team that's just destined to sweep everyone. I don't think that's their MO. They just have one game in each series in which they just can't get their shit together. And I think that was the case. As far as tonight's game goes, I wouldn't be surprised to see them really want to hammer it to the Nuggets. And hey, if I'm wrong, if this podcast is dated by tonight's events, because frankly, I'm not the fastest editor. And by the time this show comes out, how the Nuggets may have fully come back in the series, took in the lead. Who knows? Stuff happens. But let's focus on here. So Art and Jacob Do America. So you guys were kind enough to have myself, Slump Buster Bob, on your podcast a couple weeks ago. Your show, as you described to me, was more two guys sitting in a car, like just driving and bullshitting. And honestly, you know, that's a cool vibe that I like got from your guys' show, more casual. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcast and how that's going for you, Art?
Yeah, so definitely. One of the first things that we've, way back in like episode one, I think we talked about our influences. And for me, it was two things. It was like Unsolved Mysteries, that weird show from like the 90s that they've kind of brought back. And the Jim Rome show, like his sports talk radio show. Two worlds that don't really meet, rarely ever. So that's what I wanted to bring to the table. Jacob has his influences like Joe Rogan and I don't know. He has a bunch of influences, but that's probably his biggest one is Joe Rogan. And we really wanted to blend all those worlds of just like, hey, let's just sit down and talk about the things we're interested in. And sports, he's a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I love Chicago sports. I still listen to Chicago sports radio to this day. So I love sitting down and just talking sports sometimes. So
Yeah, I was going through your guys' recent episode inventory. I saw a really cool subject that kind of caught my eyes. Top 15 scary movies. I thought that was a neat, interesting topic. Love talking pop culture when I can. Summarize, what was in the top five?
Top five. Well, we did that one a year and a half ago. So let me
really?
Think. Yeah, that's an older one. But it's some people love that one. Yeah, people love that one. So for me personally, my favorite all-time scary movie is The Shining, just because I love that old school ambient feeling to Stanley Kubrick's movies. So that one, I'm pretty sure that's what I put at number one. I can't think of a movie I love more than that one, especially in the horror genre. So definitely that one for me.
Did you have a chance to check out the Dr. Sleep movie that came out a little bit ago, the sequel to The Shining?
Yeah, so it's funny. Back when theaters were still open in California, me and my girlfriend were kind of always debating, should we go see that one? And I was so skeptical just because I love The Shining so much. And she wanted to go see it, but I was like, no, I just don't want it to ruin The Shining. But then the reviews all came out and they were all really positive and everybody was saying give it a shot. And sadly, I have not given it a shot. So I'm saving it for Halloween. Coming up this month, I'll definitely watch it.
I've seen it. It's pretty good. It's not too bad. There's a lot of callbacks, of course, to the original movie, but it manages to do its own thing. So I think you'll be pretty satisfied with it. So The Shining, like I said, that is a crazy one. One of my favorite stories from that is Stanley Kubrick. You mentioned him being one of your favorite directors. He has a reputation for being a little hard on his actors in that movie. Yeah. I think there was a scene in which they filmed 100+ times.
Yeah, so I can't remember the actress's name, but the mom character, I can't remember her name, but for the majority of the second half of the movie, she's in tears and she just looks totally disheveled. And a lot of that is because Stanley Kubrick is giving her the worst time, not letting her rest, constantly yelling at her, which is terrible. It makes Stanley Kubrick a terrible person, but it got such a great reaction from her performance, which it's a one in a million shot, which he got. So I don't know. Who am I to question the artist?
That's one of those things. When you look back at the stories of why these scenes were so powerful, so amazing, half of it's improv, half of it's the director being an asshole. One of my favorite scenes and from a movie that I can always just throw on anytime is Django Unchained. The scene in which they're at the dinner table and Leonardo DiCaprio figures out their master plan to get Brunhilde back, and he smashes his hand on one of the glasses on the table. He actually cuts his hand. And I think that's just a testament to how good of an actor Leo is. It's just insane. He just rolls through that scene. That's why it was crazy back in the day whenever there was that whole, why doesn't Leo have an Academy Award? What's going on here?
Did he win it for that one? I thought he won it for the one where he wrestled the bear, which I can't.
Yeah, that's one he would have.
Okay. Yeah, he's such a great actor, method actor as well. That's a great scene just because I think it's the people across from him as he cuts his hand, they all notice that his hand is bleeding right away and they just go with it. Everyone else is just watching him in shock that he's just going to go with it. And great performance. You're right.
I like how he's now shifted. So he obviously does the Scorsese movies whenever he can, but now he's doing a lot of the Tarantino ones. Obviously, I mentioned Django. And his most recent one I really like, of course, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, him playing a bad actor. I think that's always interesting when a good actor plays a bad actor in a movie.
Jacob definitely liked that one a little more than I did. I did like that movie, but him and Brad Pitt both kill it. That whole exchange between him and Bruce Lee is amazing. That I could just watch that all day. Just that one black and white scene with the fight in it.
You know who can't watch that scene all day? Bruce Lee's daughter. I guess she was actually pretty upset at the portrayal of her father in that movie.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it was definitely more of a caricature of her dad than what he really was like. So.
Yeah, if you want to completely counterbalance that, you could, of course, watch the documentary Be Water. By the way, we do have a review on our channel of Be Water, so go ahead and check that out, Slump Buster audience. Just say it. Shameless plug. Neither.
I'm going to check it out. I'll check it out.
You're based out in California. I just wanted, how's everything going over there? Still on fire? Still burning?
yes and no. It's so weird. So the last 3 days or so, it's been perfect. Perfect weather. It's been 80 degrees and sunny and just perfect weather. That's winter for us over here. So it's 80 degrees. And so just today, it's so cloudy with smoke again. It's been terrible. My allergies and my nose have been killing me just because the smoke is so gross. And it's terrible because I'm sure everyone in California is dealing with that sore throat feeling because of the smoke. And because of COVID, everyone's also scared. So you don't want to be the one person that either has COVID or just has a bad throat feeling. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just in general with COVID, if you sneeze in public, that's back away from
yeah.
your phone.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, hey, you can always do like you mentioned Jacob's favorite influence is Joe Rogan. Joe came out here to Austin. So, I mean, you can always hop on that bandwagon. We could jump in here, get the podcast studio going. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's true. True. I've lived in San Antonio, came to California and moved back to San Antonio for a few years. And like, so I have a big Texas connection. That's why I'm actually a San Antonio Spurs fan. So, which is the one sport that I break the Chicago rule for, but.
I was going to say, so lives in LA, Chicago Bears fan, San Antonio Spurs fan. Your fanhoods are all over the place. I'm not one to judge considering I'm come from New Mexico and I have a Boston Celtics fanhood as well as a San Francisco 49ers and Giants fanhood. Are you originally from Chicago? Is that?
No, I have no Chicago ties. So just family members were just Chicago Bears fans. And then as a kid, I remember watching a Steelers versus Bears game and they were playing in the snow. And for some reason, that game always stuck with me. Like, wow, like those are the two best teams. It was like a Sunday night game. And like, although I'm sure they were not that great, whatever, they were just on prime time for that one night. I remember thinking like both of those teams, just their uniforms look cool. So I was either going to become a Bears fan or a Steelers fan, and Bears just won out.
Yeah, the Bears could use all the fans they have considering they are looked on as the lowest of the 2-0 teams. So, I mean, hey, your team's off to a good start here.
Yeah. I'll take it. Hey, I'll take it.
How are you feeling during that week one comeback against the Lions? Fourth quarter Mitch, am I right?
Fourth quarter Mitch, indeed. I felt great up until the Lions were within a finger from catching that last pass. Mm-hmm. That I have to admit that I lost like 5 years of my lifespan during that drop. But I felt great. After game one, I felt great. After game two, I don't like our odds going up against Atlanta. But hey.
You faced a team that blew a fourth quarter comeback in week one. Atlanta, just coming off one of the biggest fourth quarter comebacks that I've seen in recent memory. Mm-hmm. If you're relying on teams to blow leads, you certainly are matching up against the right opponent. Let's see here. So before we, I guess, transition into NFL week two overall to continue that Bears versus Atlanta discussion, usually save this for the end of the show, but I might as well ask you now, since we got on this like train of just talking about movies and everything. We always ask our guests favorite sports movie. Do you have a favorite sports movie, Art?
Ooh. Great question. I'm going to go with The Mighty Ducks 2, just because I used to watch it a lot as a kid and thinking like it's really the sport that got me into hockey. And I was just into hockey in general back when. And then I didn't realize like Chicago had its own hockey team. So I was like, hey, I'll just. But yeah, Mighty Ducks 2 is like one of my all-time favorites.
Interesting. So The Mighty Ducks 2, not The Mighty Ducks 1. Whatever your nostalgia binge is, that's fine. Have some harkens back to Space Jam and Sandlot on the show. I was actually surprised. I'm actually relieved in a way that you didn't go with everyone's go-to, the Remember the Titans, coming off its 20th anniversary. I was thinking, oh boy,
I thought about that.
Comes another one. I'm sure it's in everyone's top five, but I always enjoy whenever we get a little bit of diversity with that question. Mighty Ducks 2. Congratulations, Art. I don't know if there's a lot of people that would jump that as their number one, but you did it, my friend.
It was either that or Space Jam, but I like Mighty Ducks 2 a lot for some reason.
Hey, you know, I mean, just we all have our favorites. Art, I need to tell you about my new favorite. That's going to be Caveman Coffee. Now, you were kind enough to turn us on to this sponsor, coincidentally from our backyard, Albuquerque, New Mexico. What's your favorite flavor from them so far that you've tried?
Hibiscus tea, like hands down, the hibiscus tea is like my favorite thing. It's paleo. I'm drinking a beer right now, but which is not paleo, but the hibiscus tea is paleo. It's delicious. It's like perfect for California weather, so you can drink it anytime. Just pull it out of the fridge and you're good to go.
Well, I'm trying to get white girl wasted. That's why I got this pumpkin spice cold brew latte and got enough energy. Like I said, paleo, so kind to the planet, keto friendly, even though similarly, too, I mean, I just ate like a burger fast food establishment, so I'm not exactly doing the keto life myself. But honestly, Caveman Coffee, highly recommended to get yourself a case of Caveman Coffee. Go ahead and use promo code SLUMP. That's going to save you some money on it. You know what you can also save money on? Manscaped.com. Now, if you use our promo code SLUMP, you save 20% plus free shipping and handling with them. You could buy the Perfect Package 2.0. You could go ahead and buy that Lawnmower 3.0. And ultimately, manscaped.com, if you need to bust the slump in your life, I highly recommend investing in the number one in men's grooming. And Let's also bust the slump in terms of like your gambling life. Let's go ahead and tell you who the winners are going to be for week two. Go ahead and talk to my friends at razorsport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. They'll go ahead and tell you who to bet on, not how much to bet on. That's up to you. How much do you want to invest? How much return on your investment do you want? They'll tell you exactly what to do against these money lines. Anyway, here's a quick word from both of those sponsors, and then we'll be back with our week two preview.
This is message brought to you by the Foundation for a Perfect Package.
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Because the only fruit I want is the one up top.
Because being in a relationship is not an excuse to be lazy.
Because I like talking ball, not smelling like them.
Because deforestation is proven to prevent forest fires.
Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped's Crop Preserver guarantees that you smell your best all day long.
Manscaped Boxer Briefs are the most comfortable underwear on the market.
Manscaped's advanced skincare technology makes nicks a thing of the past.
Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. Subscribers get 2 free blade refills every 3 months. Get 20% off plus free shipping and handling with the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. That's the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. Get your Lawnmower 3.0 today.
We are the Slump Busters.
And we approve this message.
Hello guys, this is Juju Talk Sports. You like sports betting, right? Of course you do. Well, let's bust that slump. Let me tell you about razorsport.com. Razor is a worldwide sports betting network all designed around helping you. Their diverse crew of handicappers produce plays the biggest sharps don't want you to know about. Go to their website right now and sign up for a free trial at razorsport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. Proud partners of the Slump Buster podcast. Check them out and enjoy the rest of the show. All righty, guys. We are back, of course. Juju Talk Sports, joined by Art from Art and Jacob Do America. Tonight's game, not exactly the most exciting Thursday night game that I can think of in recent history. The Miami Dolphins going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, Art, I've seen that you participated in our Instagram polls. I think, aside from the game, the most interesting debate when it comes to this matchup is Gardner Minshew's mustache versus Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard. Now, this has been a highly contested thing in the press conferences leading up. As Ryan Fitzpatrick mentioned, mustaches are only grown by people who can't grow out a full beard. Do you have an opinion on this matter?
I do. I actually have a very strong opinion. As someone who can't grow a mustache or a very full beard, I grow more of that Andrew Luckish beard, where it's just more of a neck beard. It's kind of gross. I envy the beard. I see his beard. He has a very luscious full beard, and I am 100% dying of envy. So yeah, if I had to choose one or the other, I'm going beard all day.
I feel as though, and this is coming from someone who's lived on both perspectives. So in high school, I was a high school wrestler. So not to harken back too much to my illustrious athletic career, but in wrestling, you're not allowed to grow a full beard. Now I can grow facial hair in high school, no big deal. So I still wanted to grow it out, but I had to grow it out within the rules and regulations. So that resulted in me growing out a mustache. Now, after not the most success with the ladies in high school, growing a mustache, honestly ruining a lot of high school experiences for me, I will have to say the beard is definitely the way to go. If possible, whenever applicable, go ahead and grow out the full beard. It's going to be a lot more rewarding than that mustache. Unless you're in your late 40s wanting to look like you came off your second divorce, I suggest not sticking with the mustache. That is my personal opinion on the matter. As far as the game, though, because we do have to talk about this game a little bit, I think I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins on the road. Now, the Jaguars have been playing hard, and they are currently 3-point favorites going into this matchup. However, I still think that this is ultimately a bad roster. They're going to be without their number one wide receiver, DJ Chark, going into this game. And the Dolphins, and between a matchup of two bad teams, I feel as though the Dolphins are due to get their first win. The Jags have been playing out of their mind the last 2 weeks, but I still just think that the roster has been too talent depleted for the Dolphins not to take a win here in the upset.
So I do think that the sexy pick is definitely the Jags, just because Minshew's so hot right now. He's the popular pick. He's a fantasy stud. I actually have him starting on my fantasy team, but I might bench him. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going just yet, but he has been hot in fantasy. And I think a lot of times people see fantasy equals reality. And I would say that I don't, without a, I always call him Baby Shark, TD Shark. And yeah, I mean, it just seems like this is setting itself up for a Fitzmagic kind of night. Plus Jordan Howard's over there, and I'll always love Jordan Howard for his time as a Bear. So
I agree with that. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, he hasn't had that really like pop game. He's always has a pop game. And surprisingly on primetime, he hasn't done too bad in his past endeavors. So yeah, I'm just feeling the Dolphins tonight. I may be, again, drastically wrong by the time this podcast comes out tomorrow, but still, I guess we'll have to see when that comes to be. Now let's go into those Sunday games. So we started off talking about this a little bit, but we'll start here with the Chicago Bears going into Atlanta to face the Falcons. Currently, Atlanta is a 3-point home favorite. The Bears, as mentioned, are also currently undefeated at this time. Had a big week one comeback and then managed to stave off the Giants, the lowly Giants. How are you feeling about your team?
Weird. So I feel that our defense isn't living up to the hype. And trust me, in at least in Chicago, there was hype for that defense. People were excited about Robert Quinn, about Khalil Mack, about everything. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's good to go. They got Danny Trevathan to re-sign. And what we've seen now for the first 2 weeks is a old and slow-looking Danny Trevathan, a Khalil Mack that has mysteriously lost a step somehow. Robert Quinn has some kind of knee issue. It's just been wishy-washy. The corners and the safeties look great. That's pretty much what Chicago can hang its hat on right now. Mitch's look okay. He looks okay, I guess, from time to time. For like 15-minute stretches, he'll look good, and then the rest of the game, he'll go take a nap. So it's really hard to feel super optimistic with those two wins. You really don't know what you're going to get. And even the whole Allen Robinson contract thing, I don't know if it's bothering him, but he just doesn't look like Allen Robinson 2019. So not super optimistic.
Let me ask, how are you feeling about the Khalil Mack trade at this point? As you mentioned, it seems like he's lost a step. He's not coming off as that defensive player of the year monster that he has been in past years. But you guys did have to trade a ton to get him, and then you paid him a big contract, which means he's going to be with the team for a couple more years. Today, given the quarterback situation, the uncertainties there, and the defense around him is aging, do you think it was a good deal or a bad deal?
So I would still do it 100% of the time without a question, just because although I will say he has lost a step, he's still, I think he had like a sack and a half and like a fumble recovery. It's not like he's out there doing nothing. He's still pretty active. And the other thing, the pick that we got back turned into Jalen Johnson, our second round pick, who's been a stud. See, like he's been the one bright thing about like that Khalil Mack trade where it's like, wow, this kid, we can build with this kid opposite of Kyle Fuller. Like our corner position is like locked. So I still feel really good about it. Obviously, I feel like the Raiders definitely have a younger, more up-and-coming roster than we do. And I'm a little envious of that, but I still like, you know, what we have. I still like Khalil Mack. I still think he's one of the top 15 best defensive players and top 15 players in the NFL. But he's not that top five guy that he was back in 2018.
Atlanta, so they have outscored and outgained. Well, I should say they outgained each of their opponents in the first two games. However, of course, lost both games. This past week, of course, being on a ridiculously blown onside kick that I don't even know how to explain or make excuses for the special teamers that didn't just jump on the ball. But I think that this matchup, even though I think the Bears will be able to score because Atlanta's defense isn't great by any means. In fact, I think they're one of the worst defenses, if not the worst defense in football at the moment. I don't think that they'll be able to keep up with the Falcons like the other two teams that Atlanta has faced. That is why I am going to go ahead and take the Falcons at -3. Art, are you going with your guys?
I'm going with the Bears, man. I have to go with the Bears. This game does remind me a little bit of 2018, faced a really hot Tampa Bay Buccaneers led by Fitzmagic, where they were like blowing everyone out of the water and they were going to come to Chicago and test our defense for the first time that season. And people in Chicago were scared. I was scared because I was like, well, Mitch is still on his second year. He doesn't look that great. Is he going to be able to keep up with Fitzmagic? And the Bears defense shut it down. So I think if the Bears defense can start turning the corner and looking okay and just keeping them in the from maybe like 17 points to 27 points, I think the Bears can keep up with that and maybe squeak out a win. So I'm going to go Bears, but not by much.
This is one of my favorite games in the morning slate. We have the Los Angeles Rams versus the Buffalo Bills. Both teams currently undefeated, so one of these teams is going to be leaving with a loss on Sunday. Buffalo, at home, is going to be -2.5. Tough game. I think that this is ultimately a matchup of the Rams offense versus the Buffalo defense. Even though the Buffalo offense have started to come along and Josh Allen has started to turn that corner, he's still missing basic throws. And that's why I think even on the road, even going cross country, I'm going to go with the Rams to pull out this victory in week 3. What about you, Art?
I feel a lot of the same way I feel about Trubisky, I feel about Josh Allen. I do think that Josh Allen's slightly better because he utilizes his legs at the right time every time. So I like that. I just don't trust the Rams. I'm going to go with the Bills.
Okay. See, if it was later in the year, I might have gone with the Bills just because I know Jared Goff has shown a propensity to struggle in that later season in colder games. But being that he's able to catch them here in September, I think that works in his favor. And the Rams have just looked good on both sides of the ball. They have a competent enough defense led by Jalen Ramsey. And Jalen Ramsey versus Josh Allen, by the way, that's always a great storyline there. They had a little bit of a rivalry a couple years back. And then we have, of course, Aaron Donald, who's going to put a lot of pressure on that Buffalo Bills interior line. They should be competent enough to hold up defensively. And then I like what I've seen from their offense the last couple of weeks. I think Sean McVay is showing that he still has that genius gene and he's able to scheme up against right opponents. He's been able to use Tyler Higbee more. He's been able to utilize his rotation of backs rather than just one back in Todd Gurley. And I think it's been better for them. Rams for me, Bills for you. I guess we're going to be split in that matter. Next matchup on our slate, that is going to be the Washington football team versus the Cleveland Browns, both teams at one win apiece. We currently have the Browns as touchdown favorites, so -7 heading into this week's game. I kind of don't trust them against the Vegas line to be able to pull out a touchdown victory because, in theory, they should have also pulled out a touchdown victory against Cincinnati, and they weren't able to do that last week. But at the same time, I don't like the Washington football team's chances much in general to be able to move the ball offensively. And even though they had a big week one victory against the Eagles, I think a lot of the holes in their roster showed against Arizona in week 2. So I will say that between Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, all the talented offensive pieces the Browns have, there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to put away this team.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. They have all the weapons. I don't understand why it's even going to be that close or why they've been this close to the Bengals. I just think that that's either bad coaching or Baker Mayfield is really not the future there. So, yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. I'm going to take the Browns, but not because I like them, but because the other team is just so much worse.
Going into the next game, a team that I have my huge questions about. I don't know what to make of what they're doing at this point. The Minnesota Vikings will be bringing into town the Tennessee Titans. This game currently has the Titans as 2.5-point favorites. And I'm just shocked that the Vikings have been this bad so far. They got blown out in week 1, and then they got blown out by the Colts in week 2. The Mike Zimmer defense is not looking like it normally is. They're game burned. And as far as offensively, Kirk Cousins turning the ball over 3 times last week, generally better with like holding onto the ball and keeping it with his team. I did say that the Vikings were a sneaky Super Bowl contender, and I like the Titans. I'm going to say that the Vikings defend home. I think that they need to get right in the win column this week, and I project them to be able to stave off this Titans. I think as long as they're able to keep Derrick Henry at bay, I think that the Vikings should be able to pull this one out. And again, it's going to be on Kirk to just hold onto the ball and not turn it over this week. I'm going to go with the Vikings as my upset in this one.
I kind of want to agree with you just because I can't imagine the Vikings being this bad. It almost feels like they did the same thing last year where they were just kind of fumbling into the season last year where they were just not having their offense together. And then they kind of just got it together randomly. It almost seems like they're due for that game where they just kind of get their offense together. But I'm still going to go with the Titans because I'm a Vikings hater. So give me the Titans on this one.
Letting the bias show through in your picks. Come on, Art. Shame on you. Shame on you. We got to be objective in these picks. We got to go from the We got to think up here, not with the heart. If you're listening to this audio, I know it's pointing to the old noggin here. Okay, next one. Surprising start to the season for this team. The newest franchise in the National Football League, the Las Vegas Raiders, are heading into Foxborough to face the New England Patriots. Now, New England coming off a hell of a Sunday night game. I don't know. Did you watch that one, Art?
I did not. Sadly, I did not.
Ooh, came down to literally the 1 yard line, which is only so appropriate for a Seattle Seahawks New England Patriots game. The Patriots are currently going to be 5.5-point favorites against the road team, the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, the Raiders, what they did on Monday night, too, was just as impressive, as they were able to beat the New Orleans Saints and defend home. And I'm impressed with what they've done offensively. I think that this offense is going to be a top 10 offense in the league. They're able to move the ball. Derek Carr is making the right decisions this year. He's making decisive throws with the ball, and he has more than enough talent around him to where there's not many excuses that can be made. John Gruden's scheme seems to finally be hitting. I like the Raiders overall, but I don't like them this week. I think that the Patriots have always been really good about playing at home, playing in Gillette. And Cam, I think, has shown that he's currently healthy. I don't know if he's going to remain healthy for the remainder of the season, but I know here in week 3, he's healthy. And this Raider defense is still bad. So I expect Cam to be able to roll, to put up points. And if they can't put pressure on him, which was a big problem with Seattle, he's shown that he's able to hit these wide receivers and actually, all things considered, make them more efficient than they were even last year with Tom Brady. So I think that I'm going to go with the Patriots to win here in Foxborough.
The Patriots are favored, correct?
Yeah, 5.5-point favorites.
Okay. Oh, geez. Okay, so it's really hard for me to bet against Belichick. Like, it's just so hard for – he could be facing like the 85 Bears and I would still take Belichick. I'm going to go with John Gruden on this one though. And my rationale behind all this is because this to me is his Super Bowl. Like, he's probably had this game circled like 5 years ago where he's like, I'm going to face against this guy that I know it seems like they're like bizarro world versions of each other, just like total opposites and ends of the spectrum kind of guys. I think he's going to put all he has into coaching this game. And I think it means way too much to John Gruden to win against Belichick. So I'm going to say like, I'm sorry, not like Raiders by 3, but not like, I don't feel good about that. Like as a victory, I feel foolish betting against Belichick anytime I do.
I think John Gruden just has a grudge against Belichick ever going back to the, Tuck Rule game, where he believes that that Raiders team should have got into the Super Bowl and won it. Hard to argue. Mm-hmm. Set off a dynasty, a multiple 20-year dynasty. Funny how things work out. Butterfly effect right there. Okay, this one, as a Niners fan, I am not loving this matchup. They are going to be in MetLife for the second week in a row, so luckily for them, they didn't really have to travel. They beat the hell out of the Jets with their JV team last week. They're still 4-point favorites on the road against this Giants. Now, the Giants are bad, but I don't know what the Niners are at this point. They lost Nick Bosa, torn ACL. Jimmy G more than likely isn't going to be starting in this game. He's currently listed as doubtful with a high ankle injury. They still don't have Deebo Samuel. They have D4, who's probably going to miss this game. My point is, this team's very banged up. If Nick Mullins starts, the last time we saw Nick Mullins on the field, he was able to beat the Seattle Seahawks in overtime. He had a big Thursday night game against the Raiders, but the team was still bad. They still lost games, and you don't like starting your backup quarterback in general. I think that Daniel Jones should be able to sit in the pocket a little bit more comfortably with Nick Bosa out, and that is why, as much as it pains me to say it, I think the Giants are going to get the better of my Niners this week.
I want to say I agree, just because you guys are so banged up. I mean, clearly the 49ers are the better team. Then again, they just lost Saquon on the Giants. Jeez, this is a really tough game.
And there was actually a narrative that I wanted to just real quick get your opinion on. So they were asking what was the most impactful loss of last weekend with all the injuries, Saquon, Nick Bosa, and it's clearly Nick Bosa because the Giants were going to be a 4-win team at best, correct?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they weren't going to Super Bowl with him. I'm shocking the world here. I'm going to take your 49ers just because he's not that bad of a backup. I saw him take on the Bears a few years ago. I went up to San Francisco to see that game, and he held his own against that Bears defense, and that's when the Bears defense was, like, ferocious. So I'm still going to take him. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to take that coaching staff from the 49ers, which I love. I think that that's probably, like, one of the most underrated coaching staffs. And I'm going to bet my money on that coaching staff to come up with a game plan to beat the Giants.
Oh, make no mistake about it. If they win, it's purely because of Kyle Shanahan willing this team to victory, because with how many injuries to key players if it's not just your backup offensive lineman, we're talking about your starting quarterback and your star edge rusher. Not ideal, not great, but thank you. I appreciate you, Art. That one means a lot to me, even though I have my doubts. Okay. The rookie, Joe Burrow, has looked fantastic through 2 weeks. He is looking like everything that was promised, everything you want in your number one overall selection. Speaking of number one overall selections, though, he's going to be facing Carson Wentz. Actually, no, Carson went two, right?
Yeah, he was two. Yeah,
okay. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's a whole other debate. Would you still want Jared Goff at one, or would you want Carson at two, given how both their careers have went?
Would rather have Jared Goff at this point, just because he's remained healthy, and sometimes availability is your best ability. So cheesy, but I'll go with that.
Yep. Carson's been at least available through 2 weeks, even though those 2 weeks haven't looked the best. He's making bad decisions. He's not looking like that same confident passer that we have grown to expect from Carson Wentz. I know we still harken back to that 2017 season where he was looking like a surefire MVP candidate. And since he just hasn't been at that same level, the Eagles still are going to be 5-point favorites against the Bengals. How I feel about that. So both these teams are 0-2. I was very high on the Eagles. I had them finishing with 12 wins this year, winning the NFC East. Last year that they showed they could figure it out later in the season. But at 0-2, it just seems like they're running out of time fast. So with that said, I would like to think that Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz can get their shit together against the Cincinnati Bengals and manage to get this team in the win column. But yeah, I don't know. How are you feeling about this, Art?
Another like really mixed feeling kind of game. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I think that the Eagles fan base is going to burn down that stadium if that happens, though. They are on like DEFCON 5 right now, just like on the edge of their seats if he throws another like interception or bad pass. They are flipping out over there. But I just think that Joe Burrow is, like, riding this wave of, like, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm the king of this town. And looks like A.J. Green is starting to get his legs back under him. He's kicking off the rust. So this is game three for him. And I think we're ready to see A.J. Green. He's a former fantasy football stud. And I'd love to see – he's – as a guy that I used to draft all the time, I'd love to see him, like, be good again. So – I'm rooting for the Bengals on this one, and I think that they have the overall better team just because they seem more complete and just seem to be working better together.
I agree that through 2 weeks they seem to be working better together, and I think that the confidence that Joe Burrow has brought to this locker room is still something you can't underrate. However, he's still a rookie. He still has to figure things out, and the amount of pressure that opponents' defensive lines has been able to put on him shows me that the Bengals still can't block for him. So I am going to say that the Eagles, again, are able to roll, able to get right, and I think it's very important. I think Carson Wentz should be able to pick apart this defense. Baker Mayfield had a successful game against him, and as jury's still out on how I feel about Baker Mayfield moving forward. Certainly, I feel a lot better about Carson Wentz. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, the Eagles don't prove me wrong, or this is going to be a very long season if they lose to the Bengals and go 0-3. As you mentioned, fans not in attendance, but they may just be waiting on the outside with those torches.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next game is going to be the Houston Texans against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are going to be 4-point home favorites. Texans 0-2 to start the season, but they haven't gotten the best scheduling luck. They faced the Chiefs in week one. They faced the Ravens in week two. And now they're facing the 2-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Houston, do you think they turn around this week?
So I do not. I think that trade for Hopkins was one of the worst trades I could ever imagine. I said this when you came on our show. I said that I love Deshaun Watson, but he looks okay. He looks like a good quarterback right now without Hopkins on his team. And that Pittsburgh defense looks ferocious. Every time I see them, they're just like, if not pressuring the quarterback, on top of the quarterback. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh on this one.
And I agree with you. I hate to start the Texans 0-3, but I like what I've been seeing from the Steelers to this point. I think that as the year goes on, Deshaun is going to have more success with the receiving group he has. I don't think it's the worst decision in the world to move on from a DeAndre Hopkins. I think as long as you're spreading the wealth, and he does have talented wide receivers around him. Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, if all these guys are healthy and on the field, that's a hell of a wide receiving core. But to this point, Deshaun hasn't been able to find any kind of rhythm or flow with them or be able to utilize who is his favorite target now in this offense, or at minimum be able to spread the wealth and get everyone involved on a different week so the offense has a little bit more flow and consistency. They're going to have a hard time finding flow and consistency against this Steelers D. And on the offensive side of the ball for the Steelers, Big Ben is starting to look better by the week. They do have great pieces there with Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, as well as James Conner finally looked right in week two. I think the Steelers are going to be able to roll. They're going to be able to win. And as disappointing as that's going to be for the Texans to start 0-3, I am not going to count that team dead just yet. I still think that they have time, and the season does get easier after this initial 3-week stretch that they're on.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
No, it doesn't get easier, though. Being a New York Jets fan, as I mentioned, the Niners were able to put them away by 20 points with basically our backup unit. They're going to be going into Indy this week. They are one of this is a huge line, by the way. The Colts are 11.5-point favorites against the Jets. And I understand why Vegas would say that. I understand why Vegas would put them, because the Jets are looking like the worst team in football. Adam Gase, he needed to be fired yesterday. He needed to be fired before the season. He shouldn't have been hired. The guy had zero, almost no success with the Dolphins and manages to get himself a new head coaching job. Has one of the weird, more awkward press conferences too, by the way, with his eyes just darting everywhere. And then you look at the quarterback play, Sam Darnold looked good. He looked like he was going to be the next big thing, as everyone mentioned, as Colin Cowherd mentioned, a big, trunky guy. Now he's just looking like a guy that might not even get his fifth-year option picked up. And if the Jets continue at this pace and they have the opportunity to draft a Trevor Lawrence, they're going to do that in a heartbeat in buying Sam Darnold. It was nice having you while we did, but we're picking up Trevor. By the way, I mean, that might just be a NFL Roger Goodell cheat code to get Trevor Lawrence in New York rather than Duval County, but neither here nor there. That's a discussion for next year. For this week, I got to say the Colts should be able to just win this game. Now, 11.5 points, that's a bit of a huge line, but with what the Jets have shown to this point, hard to argue with the results. I'm going to go ahead and say the Colts end that line.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I can see them winning. I can see them winning by 2 touchdowns easily. It's that defense alone is ferocious for the Colts. I mean, it's ferocious, and they have enough on offense. I don't think that their offense is that great, but they definitely have a lot more than the Jets do. So, yeah, I would take them by 2 touchdowns all day.
Hey, rough existence for Jets fans right now at this point. Okay, the Carolina Panthers are going to be going into Los Angeles, SoFi Stadium, second game out there for the Chargers. Bad week if you're a team doctor of the Los Angeles Chargers, as it was reported that Tyrod Taylor had a lung punctured while receiving a painkiller injection, meaning Justin Herbert, about 10 minutes prior to game time, had the ability to have his rookie debut against the Chiefs. And short of some heroics from Harrison Butker, back-to-back 58-yard field goals made, this team was in a position to win. Questions on whether Anthony Lynn should have went with it, but I think if you're a Chargers fan, you can at least take solace in the fact that the decision is taken out of Anthony Lynn's hands for this week. Tyrod Taylor is going to be out with that punctured lung, so we get to see the rookie, Justin Herbert, have another opportunity to play, and he's playing against a team that's probably on the bottom half of the league. So if you want an opportunity to just shine with Justin Herbert, I would say this Carolina Panthers team is a good team to do it against. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chargers to win at home.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. And also, really quickly, that news for the Tyrod Taylor news, when I first heard that he got his lungs punctured by the needle that the doctor put on him, I almost fainted. It made me trust doctors a little less. So, yeah, that's terrible news. But, yeah, I mean, Herbert looks pretty decent. I can see a future for him. If he can be good in L.A., people are going to love him. So, yeah, I'll take the Chargers on. Yeah, Chargers sound good to me.
I thought it was a weird narrative, even the thought that Tyrod Taylor could get his job back. When we have a quarterback drafted in the top 10 and they have the opportunity to get on the field, usually that job doesn't go back to the incumbent starter. It's a foregone conclusion. As soon as they're in the game, that's their job. They're not going anywhere. And I don't think it should have been as much of a debate as it was in that locker room. As far as the doctors go, I've heard some mixed things. I heard it happens from time to time. So let's not bury the guy. Let's just make memes about the guy, because it is a funny situation and we can all have a chuckle. Certainly not. Well, not if you're Tyrod Taylor. It might be a little hard to laugh with a punctured lung.
You're right about that.
Okay. Next game on our slate is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Denver Broncos. The Tampa on the road is going to be a 6-point favorite. And originally, I was high on the Broncos. However, Drew Lock is going to be out sidelined with a shoulder injury for the next 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, roughly from time estimates. Their number one wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, he is going to be out with an ACL injury as well. We do have, of course, Von Miller was lost prior to the season. This is not the same Broncos team that I had in the preseason. The Buccaneers, as each week goes by, they're going to get stronger. They're going to get more chemistry. Things are starting to round into place for this team. It's just a shame they had to face the Saints in week one, because they could have been at a much better start point. But I don't think that it's too much of a reach to say that this team should be able to roll on the road against a very weakened Broncos team.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Buccaneers on this one. I mean, it's not even close. I think that offensively, on paper, Tampa Bay has everything you would ask for. An all-time great quarterback, 2-3 wide receivers that are pretty good, if not two of them being really good. Tight ends are really good as well. Yeah, I mean, and you're going up against a really beat-up team in Denver. Like, the minute they lost Von Miller, you kind of knew that at best they were going to be 8-8. And now with all the injuries that they've taken on there, I would probably lose another 3 to 4 wins. So I think at most I see them winning maybe 3 to 4 wins this year now.
Yeah, I think that the Broncos, with the losses they sustained, it's going to be very, very hard, especially in the division they're in. I think the Chargers are good. The Raiders are surprisingly good, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a rough year given what they've lost out there in Denver. Our next matchup is going to be between the Detroit Lions and the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals at home are going to be 5.5-point favorites. Kyler Murray is currently having a pretty decent season. Obviously beat the Niners in week one, was able to roll over Washington in week two. The Lions not the start that they would have wanted. Obviously, as mentioned earlier, blew a big fourth quarter lead to fourth quarter Mitch. They last week didn't really show any kind of ability to stop the run against the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones was able to just roll over them. So their defense is not nearly what you would need to stop a mobile QB like Kyler Murray. I'm not completely sold on the Cardinals' defense either, and I think that the Lions are overdue for a win. I actually picked them last week against the Packers. I'm going to pick them as a road upset against the Cardinals. Art, what do you think?
So as much as I love the Kyler Murray fantasy football stud that he is, I think that they're due for a loss. Not that, you know, they're probably going to lose a couple more along the way, but I think the Lions are still a really good team on paper. They came into the season beat up. So I'm going to actually agree with you on this one and also take the Lions, even though it hurts me to say so. But I do think that this is Matt Patricia's last year there. Like, this team is not going to win more than like 4 games this year. But this is one of the games that they win.
Probably it would behoove them to not develop a fourth quarter lead, because that is not their strong suit at this
point.
The next 3 games are fantastic. I'm looking forward for this slate, starting first with the Dallas Cowboys going into Seattle. Seattle, as mentioned earlier, is coming off a hell of a Sunday night game against the New England Patriots and Cam Newton. A big problem I see with the Seattle Seahawks, their inability to develop a pass rush. They are 4.5-point favorites at home, whatever home field advantage now means for the Seahawks, as usually they rely on the 12th man. I like the Cowboys on the road here. I know that Russell Wilson is off to a hot start, but I feel as though the Cowboys have always found a ways to be able to stop him or slow him down. And I look at the opposite side of the ball. If Dak's able to sit in the pocket, find those wide receivers that they have out there in Dallas, Jamal Adams wasn't able to cover Julian Edelman. I think he's going to have a harder time against a unit that consists of C.D. Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Amari Cooper. I'm going to take the Cowboys on the road.
I'm going to take the Seahawks. I just don't think that the Cowboys have enough. Offensively, they clearly do. Defensively, if they're struggling with the pass rush, if Seattle's struggling with the pass rush, so the Cowboys are just right there with them. I mean, there's not a lot, even though they have a lot of studs and big names on that pass rush, they don't really seem to get a lot going from the pass rush. So I'm going to go Seattle, although it's super close. And I really think that if the Cowboys would have lost last week, the Cowboys always do this thing where they upset a really big team. And this would have been that really big team, but I think they kind of like blew their load too early. So with the win last week, I'm going to say that this is a loss this upcoming week for the Cowboys.
It's a shame that they had to blow their load on the Falcons and couldn't save it a week. Okay. Sunday night is going to be the Green Bay Packers against the New Orleans Saints. Green Bay, 2-0 start. Aaron Rodgers looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the league again. He's seemed to have found his mojo. The New Orleans Saints are coming off a tough road loss on Monday against the Las Vegas Raiders. When it comes to this game, the Saints are 3-point favorites in the Superdome. I have been very critical of the Packers. I thought this team wasn't going to be good this year at all. Maybe I overprojected. Maybe I was just trying to double down, but I had them winning 6 games. They're already a third of the way to that. I'm going to say that the Saints beat them, and I just think that they're going to be able to defend home. And, yeah, I'm just hoping, because I just don't want my projections to get any worse. The Packers already burned me once last year. I can't let them do it again.
Yeah, this is this is the most painful one for me to pick, because if I was just like, I don't know, a Broncos fan, I would see both teams and pick Green Bay all day. They just look better. Aaron Rodgers looks angry at the world. He looks like he's ready to like just go 16-0. I'm going to take Green Bay as much as it hurts me. I'd like to see the Saints win, though.
Yeah, I think one of the narratives that came from Monday night is Drew Brees going down. I think taking away his favorite target and Michael Thomas certainly aids to that and causes issues anytime you take away any quarterback's favorite guy. That's going to cause issues. As far as the Packers side of things, Aaron Jones was able to roll last week. If the Saints do a decent job against the run, so perhaps they can slow him down, and then it's just on them to be able to hold up against Aaron Rodgers. Marshawn Lattimore is going to have the duties of taking on Devontae Adams, and then it's just up to the other guys on that Saints defense to be able to hold tight. I guess it's going to be a fun game. It's certainly going to have big touchdown potential. The over-under for this one is 52.5. Over-under pick, where are you on that?
Jeez, 52.5. I'm going to take the over on this one just because it seems like it's still going to be a shootout.
I would have to think, right? It has that feel, but watch. It's going to be like a 20-10 game. That's probably exactly how these things go. Speaking of a game that should be a shootout or has big play potential, these teams are currently 1-2 in my NFL power rankings, and I'm sure that's the case for the majority of pundits out there. The Kansas City Chiefs at 2-0, going into Baltimore to face the Ravens at 2-0. This is a hell of a Monday night game. ESPN, I imagine, when they saw this potentially for week three, they threw every single dollar they had to make sure that they had this game. And I think it's going to be money well spent because I can't imagine too many football fans in general, not just Chiefs fans, not just Raven fans, but football fans that won't want to tune into this one on Monday night. I've always liked the Chiefs over the Ravens, or at least I think that they match up better against the Ravens. They do just enough against Lamar. And for a team that's able to sling the ball around as much as the Chiefs do versus a team that likes to keep it on the ground like the Ravens, I think that the Chiefs have always had the advantage in this matchup, and I think that that's going to be the same thing on Monday. Even though the Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite, I'm going to pick the Chiefs on Monday night.
I'm going to take the Ravens. I think that Lamar Jackson just looks better this year than he did last year. That's hard for me to even believe because he looked amazing last year. But he just looks slightly better. He looks like he's making better decisions this year. And both teams are amazing. It's honestly a coin flip for me. And I'm just taking because I think Lamar Jackson is slightly better in this scenario, like light scenario. The Chiefs didn't look that great last week against the Chargers, and the Chargers are not like some juggernaut team. So, I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one, but I might be completely wrong and I might look foolish once the Chiefs score like 75 points.
I think that could potentially have been, you're going to tell that team to not focus on this week three opponent. I think perhaps a lot of the Chiefs players may have had tunnel vision for week three and overlooked the Chargers because you don't want to do that when you're facing a division opponent like the Chargers. If you talk about teams that match up well against the Chiefs, the Chargers have a talented edge rush. They play cover three well. When it comes to the Ravens, they don't have a lot of weaknesses. They don't have a lot of holes on their roster. But again, I just think about offensive output. And through 2 weeks, yes, Lamar's looked fine, but he's also faced the Browns and the Texans, two defenses that I don't think are going to be in the upper tier. I like the Chiefs better. I always have. And I think even when it comes to playoff time, I project the Chiefs to be the better team or at least have the edge over the Ravens. Did have the Ravens jump them in this week's rankings, but again, that's just coming like you mentioned. They didn't look the best last week, the Chiefs. Power rankings are based week to week, and that's why I allowed them. But I did give myself a little wiggle room because, if the Chiefs win, they could just quick flip. Well, that will do it for our week three preview. Art, again, thank you for coming on. You already answered your favorite all-time sports movie. So I guess the next thing I need you to do is plug everything. Go ahead and throw out all those shameless plugs. Where to listen, where to find you, what you're working on, all the good stuff. Let the people know.
So you can find us on everywhere at Art and Jacob Do America. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Art and Jacob Do America all the way around. Our website is artandjacobdoamerica.com. If you go to that website, it's got links to everything, to all of our sponsors, which we share a sponsor in Caveman Coffee. So hit them up. You can try either one of our promo codes. I'm just saying. But feel free to check us out. We got some cool things coming up this upcoming month. We're mostly going to be focusing on Halloween type things. So not a lot of sports things coming up, but we do have a we always do like this NBA Finals preview as we get closer. So we might do a special edition for the NBA Finals, and we might do a Super Bowl preview as the season progresses. Those two are definitely on the table coming up soon.
Thank you to Art. Thank you to Art and Jacob. Slump Buster Podcast, you know where to find us. You're listening to us right now. But what you really need to be doing, folks, is hitting that subscribe button. We just crossed the 200 subscriber mark on YouTube. We just hit that 5,000 follower mark on Instagram. But keep it up. Keep up that same energy. If you like our Instagram page, come for the memes, but stay for the podcast. Use our promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. At Caveman Coffee, save yourself some money. Check out our other sponsor, Razor Sport, razersport.com. Other than that, folks, I need you to stay safe, happy, and healthy, and we'll see you on the next one.